Okay, cool.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Let's put our hands together for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and glory to God. He is risen and on the throne, and I'm glad about it. Amen. I just want to encourage everyone this morning with the word of the Lord, just really quick, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting at the 14th verse. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting at the 14th verse, the word of God says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I read for you in your hearing the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, letting everyone know that once you come into Christ, amen, which is a good place to be, you are required to mature in him. You are required to grow up in the things of the kingdom. You have to understand your kingdom citizenship, and you know whenever you move from one place to another or from out of one state to another, you know every state has its different rules and regulations. The same thing with the kingdom of God. When you come out of living in the world and doing whatever you've wanted to do, the moment that you come into Christ, you are no longer your own, but you are bought with a price. Amen? And then we have to understand that it is our responsibility that we have to grow up. It's our responsibility to learn the rules, the laws, the regulations of the kingdom. Therefore, when the enemy comes, amen, he will have no place. He can find no place in you. He knows where his boundaries are. You can stop him every time. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you of your new life in Christ. For those of you who are not saved, I do challenge you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. You will not be the same. I didn't say everything would be easy, but let alone you will have a friend and comfort. One who sticks closer to you than a brother, someone who can mature you, someone who can stand by you, someone who can speak for you on behalf of you, which is the Holy Spirit. Trust and believe in him. Amen. You will not be disappointed. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Amen on this morning. Amen for the word of God. We pray that you are encouraged on this morning. Letting everybody know for the announcements, which are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., prophetic atmosphere every Friday night at 7 p.m., JAM, Jesus and Me Ministries, and the conclusion of the matter, 8:30 a.m. every Sunday morning for our live worship experience right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. You don't want to miss those times, and we're personally sending an invite out to you that you could come and join us 8:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Amen. You can meet us right here at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. That's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the city of Cocoa, Florida. Amen. We love to see you come for the praise, the worship, amen, and the word of God. Amen. The presence of the Lord is here and yet abiding. Amen. And you will definitely receive what you need to receive from the Lord. Amen. And we also have coming up January 29th through February 1st, 2015, Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Amen. Beginning here 7 p.m. As I said before, and I'll say it again, I have two pairs of shouting shoes. Amen. Because I'm ready to give God some praise. And the young people are ready to give God some praise. So you come with your cloth, amen. Come with your bottle of water, because we're going to be out of breath. We're going to be singing to God, giving Him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, amen. Glory to God, and giving Him the best praises. We know how. We already have the minstrels in place. We have the praise and worship leaders in place. We have the mimes in place. And most of all, we have the Word of God in place. The only thing we're missing is you. So we need to see you right here, 7 p.m. Amen. January 29th through February the 1st, 2015, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. Amen. Those are the quick announcements for this morning and the events. Govern yourselves accordingly. Now let us begin to pray. And after prayer, praise and worship. Amen. And then the word of God coming from our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. God, we praise you, God. We magnify and we glorify you. There is no one like our King. There is no one like you, Lord. There is no one like our God, our Lord, our Savior. Father, we, your people, come before you, humbling ourselves at your feet. God, we're just asking you to just fill this place with your anointing. Fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with your power like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we, your people, call upon you this day. This is a blessed day. This is a righteous day. This is a holy day. This is a day that you have made. God, we come before you just thanking you and praising you for all that you have done, all that you are, all that you ever will be. God, we, your people, just come to bless you. We come to glorify you. We come to hear a right now word from you, God. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence in this house. We invite you to breathe upon each and every life that is here. We invite you to breathe upon the worship, God. We invite you to breathe upon the preaching. We invite you to breathe upon everyone that is sitting here under the sound of my voice, God. Breathe a fresh wind of the anointing in their lives in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, begin to shift our minds. Give us a permanent shifting in our minds, a shifting in our hearts, a shifting in our spirits, a shifting in our souls, God, that we will no longer be complacent, Father. We will no longer accept the places where we've been. We will no longer reside in the low place, God, but that we will understand who that has called us and who we belong to, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will begin to rise up out of the ashes, Father, and that we will begin to take our places that you have already predestinated us from the foundations of the world. Father, we thank you and we glorify you. Even now, God, I ask that you would wash us and forgive us for all of our sins of unrighteousness, God. Everything, God, from the inside out, begin to wash our hearts and our minds. Renew a right spirit in us, God. Renew a right mind in us. Give us the mind of Christ on this morning. Help us to stop returning back to those things of the past. Close the door to the past, God, and allow us to push forward in the kingdom, in the things of the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, even now, stir in us a new way. Stir in us a new spirit. Give us a new tongue, a new praise, a new hallelujah, a new worship, God, that we've never had before. Put a yes down on the inside of our souls. Put a yes down on the inside of our spirit like never before. The willingness to say yes, Lord, and mean it this time. in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, begin to stir up your intercessors and your prayer warriors. Begin to stir up your prophets, apostles, pastors, and teachers, and evangelists. Begin to stir us up, God. Help us to have an indignation against those things which are evil. God, remove the scales off of our eyes on this day. Unstop our deaf spiritual deaf ears on this day. Help us to hear and obey your word in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we praise and we glorify your name. We lift your holy name up in this house. We give your name all the praise and all the glory that is due you. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for being our Lord. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being our deliverer. We thank you for being our way maker. We thank you for being our comforter, God. We bless your holy name, and we thank you for your favor, God, that you have rested upon us. We thank you for your favor upon this ministry. We thank you for the prophetic words that have been spoken over this ministry, and they shall come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless you, and we glorify you, and we praise you for all that you have done. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen again. Come on, put those hands together for Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we bless your name today. Hallelujah. Have your way in this place, oh God. Have your way, have your way. Move by your spirit and your might, oh God. Have your way. Have your way, have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Have your way, oh God. Have your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible declares that we were created for his praise and his purpose. And so today on Praise and Worship, we're just going to have some fun today. Give God his due praise. His due worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know that the Lord is glorious? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, help me. Put your hands together.
When you come into his presence, lifting up the name of Jesus, and you hear the music playing, and you see the people dancing, just forget about your worries. Let your troubles fall behind you. Don't you wait another minute. Just get up and on your feet and get to dancing, singing, jumping, leaping. Get to shouting, make it loud and make it glorious. Start rejoicing, praising, lifting, raising, blessing, make his praise glorious. When you come into his presence, lifting up the name of Jesus, and you hear the music playing, and you see the people dancing, just forget about your worries. Let your troubles fall behind you. Don't you wait another minute. Just get up and on your feet and get to dancing, singing.
to make his praise glorious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that I was made to make his praise glorious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just want to, sometimes you want to just dance before the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah. How many of you know that our God is big? Our God is strong. Our God is mighty. Hallelujah. And his plans for me goes beyond my wildest dreams or expectations. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we glorify you. We lift you up. We adore you. Hallelujah. Our God is big, so strong, so mighty. My God, plans for me go beyond my wildest dreams. My God is big, so strong, so mighty. My God, plans for me go beyond my wildest dreams. Yeah.
There's nothing my God can do.
Far beyond our dreams, our hopes, our own imaginations. God, and we just glorify you. Hallelujah. We honor you today, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know that our God is great? Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Come on, lift up your hands all over the building.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We serve a big God. We serve a great God.
Yes, we do. Hallelujah.
Come on, lift up your hands and just say,
how great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God.
God, hallelujah.
Our God is awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
We love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We glorify you. How great is our God.
Come on, everyone, sing it. Just you now.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise.
My heart will sing.
And my heart will sing. How great is our God.
Worship.
Hallelujah.
The name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Come on, we just sing how great He is.
Great and mighty are you, oh God. We worship you. We adore you. Great is our God. Hallelujah.
We pray that the presence of the Lord met you right where you are at this moment and at this time. Amen. We just bless the Lord and we thank him for all that he has done. Come on, let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We thank God for who he is and for all he has done in our lives. Amen. And as we transition at this time, we want to make room for the angel of this house, our pastor, our apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen, as he comes to deliver the word on this morning. Amen. So I want everybody to be attentive. Amen. Come expecting. Amen. Come to be challenged. Amen. Come expecting a word to heal, to bring comfort, to bring deliverance, to bring understanding, to bring revelation. Amen. And most of all, Let the word take you to the next level in God. Amen. Amen. But while he's making his way to the podium on this morning, once again, just want to go over the announcements one more time. 7 p.m. every Tuesday, Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. Every Thursday, 7 p.m., Prophetic Atmosphere. Every Friday night at 7 p.m., Joshua Generation, Jesus and Me Ministries. Amen. That's JAM, Jesus and Me Ministries. And then January 29th through February the 1st, Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Amen. And 8:30 a.m. every Saturday, every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., join us right here for Christ the King, our live worship experience. Amen. And for those of you who are not in the Brevard County area, please go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Go to the media tab at the top of our website, click there, and you will see our worship experience, our broadcast live right in the comforts of your own home. You can also go into our archives as well, amen, and catch up on the word of the Lord and what God has been saying to his people. Amen. And we thank God for all of this, amen, and for the great things that he has done. It is marvelous yet in our eyesight. Amen. Once again, for those of you who are in the Brevard County area, please come to 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. We also ask that you would pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And finally, go to our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny. We want to hear from you. Even for those of you who are seeking prayer, you want somebody to pray for you, pray with you, amen, about you, amen, as you're on our website, amen, on the Contact Us page, you can follow the instructions there, amen, and we will contact you at our earliest convenience as well, or if you would like to invite myself or Apostle to minister at any one of your engagements, amen. Those are the announcements, amen. Those are the upcoming events that we do have, and letting everyone know that Women of Prophetic Destiny will be resuming this December 3rd weekend. It'll be Sunday morning. I will be ministering, amen. And we also have beginning January 3rd weekend, we'll be resuming our fellowship and then getting right into, come on, amen, into the next phase of the new year. So let us now receive Apostle McQueen as he comes to minister the word of God. Put our hands together.
At what God is doing, what God is seeing, amen, and which way God is moving us as a people and as a body. And I want to remind you all that this is something that God is doing, amen, amen. I'll get you a better seat over there, amen, because that got to work for you when it works for you, amen, amen, amen. We've been talking about, if you will, several things in the body, amen, and those things that we've been talking about, I'm trying to get us to a place where we understand who we are and whose we are. Look at your neighbor and say, be who you are.
Be who you are.
Understand whose you are.
Understand who you are.
Now, I say that because there's too many things going on where we are losing our identity. Amen. Right now, people are walking around talking about things that they believe happen in the Bible and things that they believe that are happening in the church, and they have missed it. Amen. And because they have missed it, amen, trying to get this microphone just right, because they have missed it, what has happened is several things have been occurring, and Christianity has been named, but it hasn't really been the focus. It's not a reality. Everything that you call Jesus is not Jesus. Amen? Amen. Somebody know I'm right, say amen.
Amen.
Everything that people call Christian is not Christian. And I like our spiritual mother said something to the effect that there's a whole bunch of Christians, but there's not a whole lot of Christians. That doesn't sound good to some people. It doesn't sound just about right. But it is. It's correct. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get those who will follow after the footsteps, the precepts, the life of Christ, the example of Christ. We're trying to get you all to understand that without him, we don't have nothing. And we've been walking around trying to find any and everything that will, agree with us. You're looking for the burger and the fries, but you don't always need burger and fries. Sometimes you need to take in something else. All that processed food and deep fried goodness will wreak havoc on this body. Amen. Now, I did not say it wasn't good. I just said the outcome of it isn't always the best. Amen? And so it is when we get to the word. I like a good shout. I like a good run. I like a good time in the Lord. But every once in a while, I need substance. Amen? Can I say it like this? Most of the time, I need substance. We're working on several things here at this time, and we're trying to get us into a place where we understand what God is saying for us and how we're going to move forward with those things. You'll note that coming up here in the near future, we'll be dealing with a couple of things, and that will be we'll be dealing with a couple of things that will be moving us towards this new year. And as we get into next year, you'll see that there's certain changes that we're going to be making. Amen? Amen? One of them is the worship experience, how we look at worship, and that's what we're starting with and dealing with now, is that in the house we have to preach the message that will help us to understand where God is taking us and why he's taking us in a certain direction. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, if they don't know, worship is important. Say it again, worship is important. Because most of the time what people do is they come in and they have an ideal of what worship is. And I ended the last telling you that worship is an invitation. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you've been invited. Now, this is not one of those invitations where you want to get rid of it or you just want to ignore it. You really want to hold on to this invitation here. Amen? This here is an invitation that don't come to everybody. The Bible tells us in John, the 4th chapter, that the Father is seeking such to worship him. That means that even though there's a multitude and a multiplicity of people, there's only certain ones that he's looking for. And the reason why he's looking for them is because there is a purpose to their existence. Amen? Now, we're all created to praise God. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Amen. How about right there, everything that have breath, praise the Lord. Come on, give him a praise. In praising him then, what we are actually doing is we are publicly acknowledging the greatness of God. That's why it's important when we say praise the Lord, everybody go, hallelujah. You see how quickly we can slip into a routine without putting any effort into it. Amen? So what I want is for us to get to a place where we are now worshiping and praising with intelligent thought. Y'all see it? So if I say, everybody, everything that have breath, praise the Lord, then the saint shouldn't just give me a hallelujah. Because the sinner do that because they know that that's what we do. Hallelujah. They're not connected to it. They're just mimicking what's around them. When you are connected to a praise, something on the inside of you erupts out of you. Amen. We know when it's going to erupt out of you because we can see it bubbling. Okay, let me say it like this. When it's on the inside of you properly, before it comes out of you, we already see. Hey, hallelujah! We see it coming. When you don't have all of that in there, because I want somebody, listen, what's on the inside can't be contained on the inside, which is why you see it trying to get out. And your job simply is to let it out. Look at your neighbor and say, just let it out. If you're too busy looking at how it looks, then you'll miss the spiritual release that comes along with it. In your life, sometimes you have to get to a place where you open up your mouth, and I don't care who's looking, I don't care who sees me, I don't care what you think, I got to get this praise out of me, and when I open up my mouth and give it to God, it's going to be at the level that he deserves. Our God is great. We can't sing it and then give him a minuscule praise. How come to worship if he's so deep and wonderful? How come you don't go so far in worship that you lose yourself? Do y'all see what I'm saying? So we're working on this. And I started and I said, listen, we got to get to the place where we understand who we are. But more so than that, we have to understand that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, invited us in so that we could worship him. And it's an invitation, amen? And if it's an invitation, then you should be able to focus on what it is he wants. Now, let me show you, because I painted the visual picture for you that worship is the bath water is made, the milk is poured in there, and the fragrances and everything. They put the petals there. They got the petals on the floor leading from the door all the way up to it. The candles are set. The ambience is right. The temperature in the room is right. Everything is perfect. Your little drink is set on a side. Your little fruit in your chocolate, the strawberries and the rest of that, all that stuff that you would look for, it's all set there. It's there. But behind that threshold of that door, you are, and he's inviting you in for worship. Y'all see? Now, let's go on the other side of that door today. On the other side of that door, if you have not prepared for worship, that's going to be a sad entry, isn't it? Amen? Somebody know what I'm talking about, say amen.
Amen.
How you going to come in and enter in, you ain't brushed your teeth? You ain't quite as fresh as you need to be. Your clothes are dirty. You look like you just fell out a mud pit that had alligator and other dung in it. So your fragrance isn't right. Y'all see that there is a disconnect between what you're invited to do and how you prepare to get to it? Look at your neighbor and say, you got to prepare for worship. I'm working on this, getting to a place where we stop being spectators in the worship service and we become participators. I want the music to be so that we don't have to, if we didn't do nothing but just play under the presence of God and the anointing that he's placed upon our lives, and we're just sitting there as anointed minstrels, that we would feel the atmosphere just take us up in levels and layers and dimensions. But we can't get to that if we're just performing. if we're just trying to get up to a level, if we're just, there's a disconnect. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to get connected. Our faith has to be tied to this. You can't worship what you don't know. You can't believe in what you don't know. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to, I think we stopped at Romans 10 and 14. Romans 10 and 14. Amen? Says, then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? One of the reasons why when we say Jesus, and you say, Jesus, come on, call on the name of Jesus. Jesus. There's no response because you're just saying it out of response, but you're not saying it out of relation. Amen.
Amen.
We see, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. When we all open up our mouths and we are connected, there is a connection in our praise. Y'all see? And I'm trying to get us to the place where prophetess can't come up here and we can see that she's been deep in worship, come back so she could do the transitions or whatever she needs to do in service. But everybody else was just watching. So all you see is her. See me every once in a while. But everybody just saw it. We're trying to get people not to just see it. We're trying to get you to be it. I want you to lose yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to learn how to lose yourself. We're too aware of ourselves. And God can't use us because we're so busy trying to keep us together. Amen? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? But then again, let's give you that one right quick because we'll back up on that. It's saying, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And I began to talk to you on Thursday, and I said, we got to drop this Facebook and this other stuff. Listen, in church, when we get to church, the most important thing when we get into the household of faith is the word of God. Amen? Say that with me. The most important thing is the word of God. And when the word is going forth, when God is using his men, his woman, his vessels, amen, when they come in, the first thing that begins to happen with them is as they begin to minister the word, we find out that God is beginning to move some things around. Someone said, you know, be careful because if you're not careful, they'll preach on you. My thing is, we're not preaching on you. We're preaching the principle of you. Okay, that just went over. Somebody said, let me say it again. We're preaching the principle of you. Prophetess and I have been going through and doing some reading in the book to make sure that we're following certain things and that we're coming up to certain areas. Amen. And if we come up to certain areas, amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Then what we can do is we can learn how to minister more efficiently and more effectively. What's been going on is that we've been ministering a word. Amen. And the word that we've been ministering, we have to get down to some form and function with that word. Amen. If the word's just coming out and it doesn't hit anybody, it didn't benefit you. So in the house, we have to deal with different issues. You have to know who's in the house. Amen? Look at your neighbor and just ask him, are you in the house? If you're in the house, then that means that the word, when it comes, should hit you or find you in the house. Right? And most of the time people say, you know, I'm going to sit back over here. I don't want nobody to see me. First of all, let me share with you. What you don't show is what the Lord shows most. Am I right? Stuff you trying to hide and keep back and don't nobody know. They ain't seen that. We saw all of that. It's just not time to deal with that. Amen? I used to say something a long time ago. I see everything. I just don't say what I see. And I really do. I see a lot, but I don't say a lot. Because it's not wise to tell everything you know. Amen? It makes you a tattletale or makes you, as they say in the world, a snitch. Okay? And snitches get stitches. Okay? Spiritually, if you can't tell, if you don't know that you shouldn't be talking about everything that you know and everything that you see, you tell the secrets. Loose lips sink ships. Amen? And what we do is we have to make sure that we don't do any of that. So if the Lord knows he can trust us and I can see and he can show me the secrets and revelation, but then I have to wait on him to give me the instructions so when I release that secret, it comes out in wisdom and development. Amen? Yes. Otherwise, knowledge that you know today improperly disseminated will destroy futures. In other words, if you say too much before time, you can mess some things up before you even get down the road. Amen? That's why there are certain things in corporations that are proprietary. Simply means that this is their business. It is the way that they do business. It belongs to them. And if you come in contact with them in that business, you can't leave from there and go to another business and share that information. It is proprietary. How many of y'all remember that movie, Coming to America? I want y'all to get married. Okay, listen. The thing is, can I get it? Okay, listen. The thing is that you notice that McDowell's, he was sitting there trying to read a McDonald's manual. Didn't want nobody to know it. Same thing, spiritually. There are certain things that God will reveal to his saints, to his children that belong to us. Amen? Amen? And the world don't need to know it. Because the world takes your ideals, takes your giftings, takes your anointings, and then begins to monetize it and begins to build it up. And before you know it, it don't even mirror what God gave you. And when you come with the idea that God gave you to lay it out, they're like, man, that's, oh, we got this one, that one, that one's doing it. How? Because you talk to this one, and you talk to that one, and you talk to the other one. So what he does is he gives us secrets that we have to hold on to. Amen? God is trying to get us to a place where as we're beginning to disseminate this information, as we're beginning to walk this way, we begin to deal with all of this, that we begin to understand that there are secrets that he has for us, some things that he wants to do through us, some things that he wants to give to us. But now, let's look at this right here. How shall they believe of him in him of whom they have not heard? Most of the time when we're in church and we're dealing with Facebooks and tweeting and everything else, we're so focused on that. Because if I told everybody right now, tweet God is good, people would be like, now the problem is when that opened up, you saw that you had five messages that you hadn't looked at and that somebody made a comment on something you said. Now, instead of you getting back to the message to hear the rest of the matter, you're trying to see what it was said and who made the comment. And then that answer the comment, and pretty soon you missed everything. Am I telling the truth, somebody? Now, let me show you how the enemy does this. You come into the household of faith, and we're still talking about how can you believe, but we're talking about hearing right now, okay? So what happens is a distraction is a momentary pause in your focus. Say it with me. A distraction is a momentary pause in my focus. What does that mean? It means that if I'm trying to do something, I'll do it as slickly as I can. Genesis, come in right quick. I think the walk will do you good. You're getting low in that seat. Come on up here. Now, all of y'all have seen this before. All of y'all have seen this before. Come on. That's good. That's good. Everybody say hi, Genesis.
Hi, Genesis.
Okay. Now, y'all seen somebody walk behind, look that way. Y'all seen somebody walk behind and tap somebody over there and jump over here, right? What is the purpose of that? When I tap you here, just go ahead and look like you normally would over there. Over there. You know, she's played this game before. Let's try this again. If I tap you over here, look on the side I tap. By the time you realize nothing's over there and you look back here, whatever I was going to do, I just did, didn't I?
Yes.
And that's, thank you, that's what the enemy does. Amen? Amen. That momentary pause and focus is enough for him to do something. By the time you look back over here, something's changed, but you don't know what. It's not until you start going down the road that you realize that what he did was he took something from you. Amen?
Yes.
In New York, what they do is they do a pause, but they do a pause and capture, I'll call it, because what they do is they'll bump into you while they're taking something from you, and you're so busy with the bump that you don't know that they just took something from you. Till you get down and you look for your wallet and then you go back to, oh man, they just got me. You understand?
Yes.
That's the enemy. The enemy's out to take what is valuable to you, what is precious to you. And all he needs is a moment of your attention, a redirect from your focus. Y'all see it?
Yes.
Now let's go back and understand now what's going on here. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Huh? If you are at a church or at a place where they're not preaching and teaching Jesus, then you can truthfully say, I haven't heard of him. I told y'all the story of the man, the preacher who went up to Canada, and while he was up there conducting business, went out at lunchtime to get something to eat. And while he was out, the lady who was waiting on him, they started up a conversation, and she told him that she was a Christian. And then as they went on, he heard her cussing and doing some other stuff and talking about some other things that she's planning on doing. So when she came back to the table, he asked her, he said, I thought you said you were a Christian. And she said, oh, I am. I go to such and such church, you know. It's big, big church, you know. He said, oh, okay. And then, so as they talked, he said, so what makes you a Christian? And she said, well, I do some community service, and I recycle, and I, you know, help feed the poor, and we go over to this, and I do a little this, that, and other. And everything she was saying was none of it had to deal with her soul. So he finally said, well, those are all good things, but how long have you been saved? Saved? What do you mean saved? Okay. He said, when did you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Saved? I don't need no Savior. You're Christian, but you don't even know the definition of Christianity. You've missed it because in all that you've been doing, you've been busy, but you've been absent. Y'all see what I'm saying? Your body's here with me. Your mind's on the other side of town. That might be before some of y'all's time. Amen. But the principle is still the same. Your body's here with me, but your mind's on the other side of town. Okay, listen, what it says is that even though you are present, you're absent. When we come in, we can't hear when we don't come ready to hear. We don't come ready to listen. Amen. So if we get into the household of faith and you got your phone on and you on your tablets and everything else, and that's the most important thing, and while you're talking about, mm-hmm, amen, hallelujah. When you walk out the door and the devil begins to try you based on the lesson of today, you'll find yourself deficient in knowledge, which means that when he comes to smack you around, the words that you got today cannot be applied to your situation outside the door because you were distracted inside. So now when you get out there and you need to have that, that was the bump and take. Y'all see it? Devil knows how to put a face up on it, a picture, or somebody send a video and everything, and you sitting there, and you, Lord Jesus. And all that was being said at that point, you missed it. What are you going to get now? Look at your neighbor and say nothing.
Nothing.
It's going to hurt later. How shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, the preaching of this word has to be from those who are connected to the knowledge in this word. Amen? We have to make sure that we're always getting the truth of the matter. Amen? So now our job is to preach and teach you what is going to change your life. Give me the 14th verse in the New Living Translation, because what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk about this praise and worship part, this component, amen? It should be the NLT. Isn't that an interesting first sentence? But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Brother, sister, how many of y'all believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in a Judaic Christ, or do you believe in a historic Christ, or do you believe in, do you see the problem right there? One of the things when we were coming up, someone asked prophetess, what kind of prophet are you? And she said, what do you mean? They said, are you a Nabi or a Roha? Rohe. And she said, I don't know which one. They said, then you ain't a prophet. We come later on after going back to study because that was disturbing. God called us, not you. And it's not predicated upon whether or not I know the terminology behind what you're asking me. I need to know for myself. Amen?
Amen?
So we went and looked and found out that what they were asking and the way they were asking didn't even apply to the question that they asked. Am I right? One is more of a territorial. The other one is, let's just say it didn't apply. Amen? And so it is when we begin to call on him to save us. Because there is the Christ that your mama and your daddy taught you about, your grandmother, those people who are around you taught you. But if you don't know who he is for yourself, and now let me ask that question. How many in here know him for yourself? Okay, now that's important because what I know you can't change or deter. But if I'm going off of what I know from mom, if I'm a Christian because my family came up in the church, then when you get out and you get into conversations around people, they'll ask you questions that you won't be able to answer. You know why you can't answer them? It's not because you didn't go to Sunday school. It's not because you did not learn the golden rule or the golden scripture. It's because you don't have a personal relationship with them that drives you into this word, drives you into praise, drives you into worship till you get to know him on the inside of yourself. Because what you know on the inside, nobody can change. But I can change your perception if I bring a book and show you, well, this is what they said about Christ. They're not sure that the Christ that you guys say that you're worshiping is really the real Christ. Because right around that time, there was another Christ that came and he caused the uprising and everything. But they executed all of them. And I think that's the crucifixion you're talking about. And if you don't know that the Jesus that we're talking about is the one that saved you, if you don't know by his stripes you are healed, huh? If you don't know any of that stuff, if you
don't know the miracle working power of God, you haven't seen it work in your life, then when they come with all that historical mumble jumble and the rest of that, trying to convolute the argument, you'll fall for it. You have to understand that Jesus was a common name, just like Tim, just like Johnny, just like Dexter, Melissa, Genesis, Larry, Lawrence, okay, Lawrence James, okay, huh? You see that, Crystal, Christopher? It's common. It's a common name. You see that? What makes Jesus different is the Christ. It is the Christ. Or the anointing that made him different. He was the anointed one. Everybody say with me, he was the anointed one. I shared with you before that when we put on Christ and we begin to take on his DNA and his blood goes through our veins, we become what he is. Amen. Now, that doesn't make us Christ, but it makes us a Christ. Okay? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Of Christ. That means that I'm the representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. He has delegated his authority to me. So in the county or in, let's just use the county. In the county, there's one sheriff. One. Everybody say one. But you see a lot of deputy sheriffs running around, and they carry with them the authority of the sheriff. You are deputized as a Christ. Do you see it? It does not make you the Christ, but it gives you the authority of Christ. Y'all see that? So when you walk around, the devil's trying to make sure you don't know who you are. That's why praise is so important for us, because praise begins to clear the atmosphere. You understand when we begin to praise God and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and glory to God, that the devil can't stand it. It drives him crazy. He leaves our presence. And when he leaves, then God can speak clearly to his people. When he speaks clearly to us, that clear understanding and revelation of Christ leads us into worship. Your praise is what cleans you up on the other side of the door. Y'all see that? So if you're not praising God, you're going to have a hard time worshiping him. Well, I feel like praising God right now. Somebody give God a praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your ability to praise him comes in the Christian, from Christianity. It comes from the fact that we know him. How can you call on him to save unless you believe in him? The first thing you have to do as a Christian is believe in him. If you can't believe in him, then you're just making noise in the name of Jesus. But he's looking for the right noise. He's looking for the noise that the enemy can't stand. Because when my people call upon my name, when they start calling upon him, then he begins to come down and angels begin to step forward because there's something going on. Let me show you how this works. Praise and worship for the saint is like blood in the water for a shark. Angels and everything is attracted to it. You see it? Now, if you notice anything about a shark, all they need is a drop of blood. And for miles around, they'll start coming, looking for what created that drop. The same thing when we open up our mouth and begin to praise God and open up our spirits and begin to worship him. Everything that is connected to worshiping God shows up. The angels come and begin to help us sing. They begin to help us with our hallelujah. They begin to help us with our thank you, Jesus. Everything about us begins to go to the next level when we open our mouths and begin to praise him. That's why empty praise is an abomination to God. It has no substance. Oh, Jesus. We know that an empty praise means that you're giving him lip service, but you really don't believe in him. Second part of this is that we have to make sure that we are preaching him. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get caught up. demand Jesus. Say it again. Don't get caught up. Demand Jesus.
Amen.
Now, what do you mean by that, Apostle? What's happening is that people are going to churches and they're hearing life coaches, motivational speakers. They're hearing business plans. They're hearing everything else. Your vision, not his vision. They're hearing your intellect. They're hearing your thesaurus and your dictionary, but they're not really hearing Jesus. We stop preaching Jesus and him crucified. We stop preaching the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We stop preaching heaven, hell. So now the world's walking around talking about God won't punish me because he loved me too much. Because we've been preaching the love of Christ without the other side of that. He loved you so much he sent his only son. That's some real love. So that he would die for your sins. And if you reject his son, don't think he's going to accept you. I wish Ray Sean would die for somebody, and then the person said, no, you think I'm going to accept him? Mm-mm. So you think the Father, after you reject Christ, is going to accept you? We got to get this thing together. So instead of us preaching that, they say, oh, that's too hard line. Our churches aren't going to grow if we really preach about hell. Well, you and your congregation, the multitude of you who are preaching anything but Jesus, you know, when y'all lift up your eyes, you know, hopefully you pastors sitting in the middle of them so that while they're asking questions, they can say, how come you didn't preach to us and tell us? And how can they believe in him if they have not never heard about him? We can't preach your best day now, your best life now, and just throw Jesus over there so people would know that we sort of believe in, you know, Christianity. But we really believe in money. Money rules, okay? Money talks. You want to show me something? Show me. And how many people come to your congregation on a Sunday? You want to know real saints or the fake ones? I told prophetess this. I said, listen, I'd rather have quality the quantity. No pastor wants a whole bunch of headaches. Amen? Do you want a bunch of problems or just one or two? So why would I want a church full of headaches to say I got it when I can have a whole bunch of quality and maybe one or two problems that we have to deal with? See, if we preach Christ, then you have something to believe in because you heard of him. Now, our lifestyle, prophetess and I, our job is to live this life in front of you. And you are to expect it out of us. Amen? How many of you know that you're supposed to expect your pastor to live right? Say amen if you believe it. But now, the other side of that is your pastor is expecting you to live right. Amen? Because we all have to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And it's wrong for me to stand up here and have to live a pristine life when you raggedy. Just like it would be wrong for me to live a raggedy life and expect you to be pristine. Amen? If I need to tithe and give offering and do all the rest, I'm looking at you tithe, offering, and do all the rest too. If I'm giving up my substance, my ability, my time, my talent, my skill set, then I'm expecting you to do the same. Amen? Because the church is not one person doing all of it for everybody to enjoy. It's all of us coming together. The church is relational. Say that with me. The church is relational. The Bible says many members, one body. You understand? So if there's many members in one body, then that means that every member needs to be doing their part. The Bible goes on and saying every joint supplier. In other words, everybody supplies what's needed for the body. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, that's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot.
But it's right, isn't it? And it's required. Thank you, prophetess. How can they hear about him unless someone tells them?
it is our requirement that we preach Christ to you. Go back there to Ephesians, the first chapter, because that's where we started at, and I want to end there this morning. Ephesians 1. Go to the fifth verse. You still in the New Living Translation? Let's go to the New Living Translation. Let's see those words. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. In other words, you're a part of the family of God by choice, not your choice, his choice. Have you ever stopped and wondered why you were born? To the family that you were born to, in the place that you were born, the color you were born, the economic level that you were born into. Huh? Have you ever stopped and wondered how you got to where you are? Why weren't you born in the 1600s? Why weren't you born in the 1800s? Y'all see what I'm trying to say here?
Yes.
Now, look at your life. Huh? And look at the fact that God chose you before the foundations of the world to be born now for his purpose for your life. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Because your skill set that you have would not benefit you if you were born outside of your time frame. Who cares what a Michael Jordan would have been if Michael Jordan had been born in 1500s? Y'all see what I'm saying? In his time, in his setting, he's dynamic. Outside of it, meh, just another black guy, tall. All right? God created you now for a purpose. And one of the purposes that he created you for, huh, was to bring us into his own family through Christ. Now, let's look at those next words. This is what he wanted to do. Nobody twisted God's arm and said, look at Dexter. He's special. He needs to be part of your family. No, what he did was he created a Dexter before you had a name. He created a Dexter and said, I want him in my family. So he crafted you. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Y'all got to understand that this, all that I'm talking about right now is how God took nothing and made it into everything that he wanted. He wanted to do this, and he did it. But then he set it aside so that it can do what it's going to do. And his desire and will was that it would turn to him. How many of you ever had to make a Play-Doh or clay something or, you know, work with something in school? They had you make something and y'all put it in the oven so that it's part of your craft. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Y'all made plates and cups and pencil holders. It turned into a pencil holder. You trying to make a coffee mug, but it didn't turn out like that. You was trying to make a big plate, and it turned into a thing to hold your change, you know. just didn't have the skills to make it that cup or that plate, you know. Anyhow, this is something that you made. And some people made things that they wanted to stand up, but they didn't put the bottom on it right. So when they tried to set it down, it leaned or you see what I'm saying? And so that's the problem, is that God made us and he gave us a flexible bottom to choose him or not. And
He's looking at us to choose him. He wants us to lean towards him so we'll always land in his hand. You see that? He's trying to get us to a place where we know who we are and that we love him. God chose us, and it gave him great pleasure. Next verse. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. So when we get into praise and worship, coming all the way back around, when we come into praise and worship, our job is to praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us. We belong to his dear son. You see that? That was a good song this morning. I was created to make his praise glorious. My life is that glorious praise. If the world would know Christ, it's through watching us who call upon his name. And we call upon his name because we know him. Because we've heard the word of God that was preached, an unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And with that understanding, I recognize now that I'm part of the family of God. And he chose me, and he was happy to do so. And for that reason, my job and my existence is to make his praise glorious. I'm to be to the praise of his glory. Y'all see that? So when we come in here, from here out, let's make sure we praise God for his glorious grace. Amen? Come on, let's give God a praise right there. Come on, come on, let's do it now. Do it now, do it now. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, and I'm talking to you now. I'm asking you that if this word has gone in and it's touched a part of your heart, maybe you say, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ like you're talking. Please help me to know him like you're talking, you're speaking. Let me tell you something. Being saved is very simple. It's simply, according to Romans, the 10th chapter, amen. And let's just read it together here. Romans 10, amen. When we see it speaks volumes, amen. It says that if 10 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's very simple. If you believe and you confess, you're saved. Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen. Goes on to say in the 13th verse, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I invite you now to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry where they can grow, where they can be developed, where they can go on to do the work and the assignments that you called them. I pray for those who are sick, Lord, that you would heal right now in the name of Jesus. For those who need resources, those who need miracles manifesting in their life, I pray that your ministering angels will move now and be released to do it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to share the gospel and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, reminding you that Jesus is the reason for the season. We will see you on Tuesday at 7 p.m. for Kingdom Lifestyle, then again on Thursday for Prophetic Atmosphere with Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and Friday night for the Jesus and Me experience. Amen. And then next Sunday at 8:30, we'll see you again for the Christ the King Redemptive Ministry worship experience. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We're praying for you, and we love you. Come on, let's give God a praise.